How you doing, Ray?
I'm good. You found something cleared up there?
Oh,
I've been more vanilla.
I mentioned earlier that I was reminded watching this that Chris Chelios referred to him recently as a politician, and that's what he came across as today.
There's no way that I don't know what people were expecting, but there's no way he was going to come out and make any grand pronouncements. That's just obviously it's not been his style since he took over. Number two, nobody asked anything. Like, is he supposed to go out there and say and have a list of things and go, oh, as to our players not competing, as to our players being uncoachable? Like, how about ask?
Where was Dave Feshuk?
He was there.
Oh.
Because I said to him today, I said, hey, Feshuk, can you play along with the guys in the sandbox a bit? And he's like, oh, man, leave me alone.
I mentioned earlier when I heard that, I said I would hope that here in Montreal somebody would have asked a pointed question or two, considering the circumstance.
I was really quite surprised. I didn't expect that, you know, that he was going to say much anyway. You know, like this is a funny place, as you guys well know, Toronto. So Brian Burke talked too much. Brendan Shanahan doesn't talk enough. If Brendan Shanahan spoke once a month on the first of every month to give an update of the team, some people would say that's way too much. He just wants to hear himself talk. Other people would say he should do it more. Some people would say he should do it less. Like, there's no way to do it right. But if you're going to have, since this is his first year, if you're going to make it a start of the year, middle of the year, you know, just before playoffs or just after playoffs regularity, be prepared to say something, because if you don't say anything, you're going to get clobbered.
Ray, I think the only thing, like, I left myself still questioning, because what is he really going to say on a day like today anyways? But
yep.
Just who's in charge of what? Like, between him and Nonis, like, he says Nonis fired the coach, but he approached him about it, and then he was talking about being able to trade players. Like, who does what?
I don't... My guess is that internally, there is some protocol that must be followed. But the problem with that is that externally, nobody can see what the chain of command is. And so if we can't see it, then the players can't see it. Even the people that talk on a regular basis to Dave Nonis and Brendan Shanahan, they're a little fuzzy as to how that whole thing works. Because, as I said at the start of the week, they didn't come together. They weren't in the same hiring cycle. So it's impossible for me to imagine that Dave has total autonomy of the team. I just don't believe it.
Very difficult to believe. Now, you're at the you will be at the ACC for the Maple Leafs and Columbus Blue Jackets game tonight. Columbus is, now that they're healthy, they're moving. They have half a season. I love the team. I liked the team a year ago. They got size. They got speed. As long as Bobrovsky stays healthy, they've been banged up all year. But they're really on a roll. You told us a while ago, when I asked you about the possible playoff ramifications, as good as the Calgary Flames looked, that you didn't think they were going to be able to hang in long term. And sure enough, they did slip out of it. They're still right there, but they are out of it right now. Do you think Columbus can climb back in?
I like their team a lot. I like that they're, you know, they're closing in. I think they're, what are they now, about seven back of the of a wild card. The problem with that is that you still got to leapfrog a bunch of teams, and you know they've been on this great run in their, you know, over the last last month or so, and they've picked up 3 points in their division. Like, it's hard to make up the ground that they started out giving away. I mean, it was almost comical to pick up the paper or the read on the internet every day and see, gee, what's Columbus got today? Oh, there's another player out. They started the year 4-10-1. They've had as many as 11 guys in a row, 11 guys at one time on IR. I mean, that's absurd. But so to climb into a playoff spot, they got to leapfrog four teams, right?
Yeah. And they are Ottawa, Toronto, and Florida. It's not like they're, you know, powerhouses.
No, correct. But those teams are they're all playing each other too.
Right.
Like, they're, you know, it's not like they've got to play only the really good teams. They get to play the bad teams too. And so I think Columbus can get close. I just don't. So if you climb over those teams, Florida, Toronto, Ottawa, you're still not in. And then which of those teams in front of them are going to fall out?
Yeah, it's I wonder.
Maybe Washington.
Maybe Washington, maybe the Islanders. The Islanders. Yeah.
The Islanders just, it seems like such a leap for them, yet they've played really well for a long stretch. Now they're coming back a little bit, but is this going to be their lull in the season before they, you know, catch fire again? I don't know, but I wouldn't, playing Columbus wouldn't make me very comfortable, put it that way.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty good, and they've got one of the best goaltenders in the league. And it was pretty neat. I read today that their backup is Curtis McElhaney, and he's dealing with a bit of a groin thing. So he didn't practice yesterday. They brought out Steve Shields, who's now 42 and, you know, played for a long time in the NHL. And he said of all the guys that he's played with, and there's Hasek and Luongo and Kiprasov, among others, he said Bobrovsky's got the best feet, the best recovery, the best A to B of anybody he's seen. And that's pretty interesting to hear somebody that actually plays the same position and has seen these great guys, watches Bobrovsky and thinks so highly of him.
And the Flyers had him. Yes. Another constant theme with Ray Ferraro.
We have 4 months left to practice and to be ready for when it's going to count the most, and that's the playoff. But, I mean, when we need to score goals, I think we do, and that's the most important thing.
There's David Desharnais on the still-struggling Montreal power play that they worked on in practice again yesterday. This is now a full year, Ray, if you go back to last year, the calendar year, that the Canadiens have been struggling big time on the power play. And, you know, some of us believe it will catch up to them at some point. What do you think the management team of the Canadiens think when they see this? Do they say as I just outlined, it's been a full year? You know, it's been half a year. It's the same people. It's not happening. Like, do we remain patient, as Desharnais say? We still have time to work on it before the real season starts, or have we got to keep looking for some help?
Well, a year is not a slump. A year means you're not very good at whatever it is. And if it were penalty killing, they would keep moving people in and out, because you can always try new people that might block a shot or win a face-off or clear it down the ice. The power play's got to, you know, you're not going to take Manny Malhotra and put him on your power play, right? You've got a limited number of people that you can use for it. So, yeah, all they can do is continue to work at it. And I would work at it till the guys are sick of working on it. And then I'd work on it some more, because that's the only way they possibly can get it any better with the personnel they have. Now, you can go, you know, your roster's not big enough. Like, it's not like football. You can have a third down receiver and have them somewhere on your 53-man roster. And, well, you got 18 skaters. And so it's really difficult to have a power play guy that can really control the power play. I mean, that's what they brought Gonchar in for, right? Was to help on the power play.
But he doesn't get the first wave. It's still Subban. This is what I as much as you like Subban and Markov, their qualities are obvious, but the power play isn't working with the two of them together, and they're keeping them together.
And so, I mean, if that's the one constant when you watch it and you have Gonchar, then maybe you do have to try it. I don't know. Maybe you guys know Markov better than me. What would he think if he wasn't on the first power play? I can't imagine that would go over very well. And maybe that's a factor.
Yeah, you got two guys with A's on their jersey on the first wave of the power play.
And some guys don't take to that very well. Like, if you go on the second power play group, I played on the second power play a lot. You know, I was behind Ron Francis or behind Pierre Turgeon. I mean, I wasn't going out in front of them, so I was just happy to get out there, right? But if you think you should be on the first one, and you're a proud guy like Markov is, maybe you don't take to that very, very easily, because you're not going to put Markov and Gonchar out there together, right?
Too slow.
That seems a little redundant, you know. So you've got to find ways to get the puck to Subban to shoot it. Gonchar's always had an excellent shot getting it through to the net. Maybe you try that, but I wouldn't keep rolling out the same personnel. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And the whatever that definition of insanity is, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, that's kind of it. You can't keep putting the same guys out there in the same positions, because clearly that doesn't work.
They've beaten the Canadiens twice, outscored them 11-3 as we finish up with Ray Ferraro in the two games. So that's not the only reason why Tampa Bay is the best team I've seen in the East. Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Montreal. Is there anybody else you want to throw in? The Rangers. The Rangers are right there. let me ask you a question, a variation of a question I asked Pierre Maguire prior to the Tampa game. Montreal-Tampa seven-game series started tonight. Montreal-Pittsburgh seven-game series starts tonight. Who would you pick?
I would pick Montreal. And I would pick Montreal because of Carey Price. Because I think when you look at those Eastern Conference teams, you can slice hairs on a lot of them, but Montreal has the big boy in net. Mm-hmm. And that, I like Ben Bishop a lot. I don't like many guys better than Carey Price. Good. I don't like many guys better than Henrik Lundqvist. That's my preference. If I'm back, if I'm going into a big game and I look back and I'm like, man, we're in game seven and we've got Carey Price in goal, I think I've got a chance to win every night.
Ray Ferraro of TSN on site in Toronto. Just before we let you go to work, your old pal, as it turns out, Pete McCormack's going to join us in about an hour, less than an hour, to talk about this new series on HBO Canada called Sports on Fire. You guys go back.
We go back to our Pee Wee hockey days in Trail. Pete's a really interesting character. You think I talk a lot? Wait till you get Pete on, and you can tell him that. But he was a really good player in his own right. But he went on to, he's written music and he's written books, and now he's directing, and he's done an unbelievable DVD that I saw. It was called Facing Ali.
Yep.
He interviewed eight fighters. Oh my God, it's fantastic.
That's the last time we had him on. We did speak to him a couple years ago. Yeah.
And it was fantastic. So I previewed this episode that's running tonight on HBO Canada, and it is amazing. Bobby Clark is unbelievable in this. Ken Dryden, this is the best, most open I've ever seen Ken Dryden. It's phenomenal. And Pete's done just incredible work with this. This is the first in the series, Sports on Fire, that he's created. And it is awesome. If you get a chance to check it out tonight, you really, really should, because it's outstanding. He's also written this incredible book. If you ever see it, it's called Understanding Ken. And it's about our year as a Pee Wee hockey team. And he interspersed his parents' divorce and our Pee Wee team. And it was all Ken Dryden's fault for leaving the Canadiens that one year.
Oh, so we're going.
He was a diehard, as a 12-year-old, right?
Right, right.
He was a diehard Canadiens fan.
So that
and
was.
And it's a really entertaining book, too. Talented guy.
Thank you. Pete McCormack coming up at 5:35. Have a great weekend, Ray. We're watching tonight Columbus and Toronto, and we'll do it again on Tuesday.
Enjoy the weekend, guys. Be well.
Thank you.